Commodity Week is made possible with support from AgriGold Hybrids, funding agricultural programming as an additional service to the many AgriGold customers in the AM 580 listening area. AgriGold, the corn after corn specialists. Information on the web at agrigold.com or by contacting Regional Sales Manager Scott Williamson at 217-778-6485 for representative nearest you. And with support from ADM, using corn and oil seeds to create biofuels, agriculture's answer to diminishing fossil fuels. ADM, resourceful by nature. Commodity Week is a production of listener-supported public radio at the University of Illinois. To learn more, visit us online at will.uiuc.edu.
Next Friday, USDA will release its first crop production report of the season. We'll hold the line on national corn yield or drop off dramatically, as some pre-report estimates have shown. We'll ask that question and many more today on Commodity Week. Welcome to Commodity Week. I'm Todd Gleason. Later in this half hour, we'll talk with John Bondurant of Bondurant Futures in Memphis, Tennessee. Our panelists today are Wayne Nelson of L&M Commodities out of Newmarket, Indiana, Vince Reinicke of Strategic Farm Marketing out of Champaign, Illinois, and Chuck Shelby of Risk Management Commodities out of Lafayette, Indiana.
Todd Gleason services are made available to WILL by University of Illinois Extension.
Let's open today's discussion with this question. What do you think USDA will do with the national average corn yield estimate when the crop production report is released next Friday? Vince Reinicke.
You know, Todd, I don't really look for a great number of changes from what we've been discussing. Granted, there's been some discrepancies in some of the recent estimates put out, but I don't look for a lot of changes on the USDA's front, mainly just because there's enough questions out there for them to hold the line on what they've done and not really raise a lot of questions by changing much.
Well, I agree with Vince to a degree, and then there's the other possibility that always comes up. Are they going to go out and do stand counts and use average ear weight and try to do it that way? And if they do, I think then we'll have a higher yield. But will they do it that way, or will they hold the line like Vince says?
And that was Wayne Nelson with L&M Commodities and Chuck Shelby with Risk Management Commodities.
I think the big question becomes, are they taking into account the weather we've seen here and what we're having now? This hot, dry weather, I think, has taken away some bushels, but I don't know that they're going to interpret that now. I think they're probably going to be close to where they were.
Here's how some of the numbers in the pre-report estimates were released from the commercials and those who take a look at this throughout the week. FC Stone this week said that they expect 148 bushel yield on the corn with a 12.644 billion bushel crop. Ag Resource at 151.3. They have a 12.9 crop. And Informa at 153.3 released a 13.090 billion bushel crop. That would be the second largest corn crop on record after 2004. Soybeans, USDA at the last estimate at 41.5, a 2.625 billion bushel crop. Ag Resource at 41.3, 2.617. F Stone at 42.4 bushels to the acre, there at 2681, and an Informa number of 42.7 at 2.7. Which of the numbers do you think was the closest of those three or the ones that you were looking at? And we'll start with you, Chuck.
I've got to lean towards the lower numbers in the long run because, again, I think this weather is certainly, you know, with the dryness we've had in a lot of areas and the temperatures we've got, I think it's going to push us towards a lower type number in our view.
That'd be the FC Stone at 148 and the Ag Resource at 41.3, unless you go with the USDA number at 41.5.
If I may interject here real quick, one of the things, Todd, that you just mentioned was the estimate that Informa made of the just over 13 billion being the largest, largest by yield, second largest, I should say, since 2004, right? Certainly that would be the largest production.
Correct.
On the corn side we've seen in history. So,
yes.
You know, that's one thing important to note. Yeah, yield may not be as big as we've seen, but certainly from a production standpoint, given the acres, we'd be well above that. So Just certainly keep that in mind, I guess.
Yeah, just to make, thank you for making the point. You are correct. That would be the largest production by yield per acre, second largest by yield per acre, but certainly the largest total national yield or pulled in from the crop this season. Let's take a look at the numbers from the Chicago Board of Trade. September corn this week had a high of 330. They're low at 313.5. Their settlement price 5.5 cents higher at 326.5. December corn at $3.43. They were up 6.5 cents from last week. A little pop in the marketplace. Chuck, can we expect it to continue as we head into the crop report next Friday or not?
I think we're probably going to see a choppy two-sided trade, and I think people who are short this market, you know, that's fallen down from the highs a few weeks or month ago, will those guys want to risk a short position and go into the SDA report? I kind of doubt that. So I think we probably could see some upwards bias, but certainly choppy.
Vince, when you talk to your clientele, what are they telling you about the size of the crop that they now have in corn?
Certainly, you know, given the locale, certainly a lot of it is in the eastern Midwest. I don't do a lot in Iowa, but we hear some stories, but that's about it. So with that in mind, when you look at Illinois, Indiana, Ohio, Northwest Ohio, those areas are the areas that I would be speaking of. And I've heard mostly good comments about the crop that is average to above average in most cases. Some cases there's record crops being talked about. And, of course, you know, when you talk about Northwest Ohio, there's a number of concerns out there. So, you know, I can't really give you a real good blanket statement given the area is so variable this year, as probably these guys would mention. You know, Indiana's kind of tough to call altogether, and then Ohio's even more so discrepancy from here to there. So, but I can say all the information and what I've seen looking at ears and such in Illinois, it really looks like the bulk of Illinois. As many have said, it's the garden spot, and I just can't disagree with that. We look good.
We look very good, but the garden spot is getting some heat and expected to get heat for the next week. Anybody got a preference on how much that can hurt a crop that's in good condition? Chuck, you're a farmer.
Well, it's going to take out your test weight, and it's going to take out your top end, the very good point that I've got corn at some of my best corn within 7 miles away, some of my worst corn, and then it could be from 175, 80 on a good end down to 135 or 40 on a lighter soil that's 7 miles away. So,
if I could interject, Todd, to kind of speak to your question, just similar to what Chuck was doing there, you know, I have to basically what I look for on our own production to tell me whether or not we've gotten to the point where we're going to really dry things out and hurt things is, you know, whether or not we're getting dew in the morning still. And as long as there's a little bit of dew that shows up, whether it be on the corn plant, on the grass, wherever it is, that tells me that we've still got enough moisture to not take a bunch away from test weight. And to this point on our own production, that's where we're at. You know, yeah, we could use a rain. Certainly we could use a rain. But in the mornings, it's still wet, which tells me that we're still doing okay and not taking a bunch of weight test weight.
Your grass still wet in the morning?
Vince, we haven't had any dew for 5 days, Vince. At 6 o'clock in the morning, it's dry as can be out of my house. So we're on the edge where we will see some damage or loss of yield starting if we don't get some rain in the next 5 to 7 days. I think we are slipping back some. We still have a tremendous-looking crop for the amount of moisture we've had, Todd. I am just amazed what our crop looks like, but it is tremendously dry. I took a 2-inch hose or a 3/4-inch hose and pumped for 2 hours around one of my big trees trying to keep it alive last night. Going for 2 hours, there was no muddy spot around it.
That's a long time with a lot of water. And in my home, grass is usually just dry like a bone at this time of the year, and it's still green and growing. So there's pretty variable. How much, speaking of that variability, do we need to hang our hat on Minnesota at this point? We've talked about this before, that Minnesota really needs to come in with a good crop. As it happens, they're expected to get rainfall, but maybe not. And they've been at that point where they're really suffering and need the rainfall. What are your expectations?
It's the weather wheel of fortune again, and Wayne and I were talking about that before we started today. I mean, it is just amazing to see these models flip. But, yeah, southern Wisconsin, we got some guys up there and guys in southern Minnesota. They're extremely dry. You know, I guess it depends how much they're going to get. It's going to take a significant quantity. It's not going to take a half inch. That's not going to change much for them. And it's getting kind of late in the process to really, you know, save the crop a lot up there.
On the rest of the grains floor, September oats at 258 for the week. September wheat at 650. It was off 3.25, had a high of 655.25. a low at 620. December futures were unchanged at $6.69. Soy complex, August beans at 842 and three quarters for their high, the low at 815 and a half. Settlement price at $8.39. They were 23 and a half cents higher this week. November beans at 861 were up 20 and a half cents. Tell me about basis in your area, Chuck, for soybeans. Has it been able to hold up with the 20 cents? How much too wide do you think it is? Is it unhooked from the Chicago Board of Trade? Does it not represent, does the board not represent cash price at this point?
Well, I think it's a factor of, you know, we've kind of seen some demand slip at times, and they're kind of backed up. And I think farmers held more beans in, longer into the season, so those farmers are tending to move those beans out right now to make room for this coming new crop. I think the market, again, is kind of focused down the road when we look at this yield and this carryout. So the basis at this point is wider than normal. I think a lot of guys are looking at a wide basis on new crop. But that, you know, that may be a function that we got to hold all these bushels, whether it be corn or beans. And I think the commercials are looking down the road saying, hey, we got to have a home for all these bushels.
So all these bushels are going to push both corn and soybeans basis wider, in your opinion, right on through the harvest season. How far into the harvest season?
Well, I think what they're doing, they're telling the farmer, if you don't want to build your own bin, we're going to have to deal with this. So there's going to be a hefty fee to that. So I think, again, area by area is going to be extremely different. If you're in good areas of Illinois, it could have a much wider basis. And as we talked about going over in Ohio, I think the basis will be pretty tight over there.
Yeah, likewise out west, even, you know, even in some of the spots, western Iowa and Nebraska. I mean, even though you're talking about good crops out there, you know, they've got such demand from a cattle feed standpoint and all that, they're still going to be looking at pretty decent basis levels. But, Chuck, as you mentioned, Illinois could be the where it's normally pretty well the best quantity corn basis in the country, it could be one of the worst this year, at harvest particularly. And so I don't, I guess, personally want to think that basis is going to get substantially wider than where it is, but I will say that elevators are looking at this and saying, we've got a lot to deal with, a lot of quantity to deal with, a lot of volume to deal with, and we're not going to lose money on this one. You know, is what elevators are looking at. And that's what part of the reason why basis is so wide.
Well, I come to you. I don't have storage, not left for the rest of the crop. I need to do something with it, and it's got to go over the scale. What do you want me to do?
I want you to pay me expensive storage.
See, there you go. I'm telling you.
Wayne, you can have a ground pile, Wayne.
There's a reason why elevators have basis.
The Nelson family
green pile. I don't mean that offensively, you know, because everybody's got to make money to survive. But reasonably speaking, you know, now's unfortunately not the best time to be answering that question. We should have been talking about that.
I understand that, but there will be guys that are in that position at this point.
There will be, yep.
Yeah. I would say if you could, you know, pay the storage, even commercial storage, because, again, why are we having this? It's a function of the ethanol plants. There's several of them in our area. They need to hold the bushels off. They don't need all those bushels. They need you to hold them till they need them.
And it may not, you know, Chuck's got a real good point there. It may not be the traditional pay the storage and wait on the price to go up. It may be, you know, I had it hedged. I'm going to roll my hedge forward because the carries are big. I'm going to pay the storage and wait on setting the basis till later. That may be the way that commercial storage pays the best this year. I don't know, but you know, there's one of the guys up in Northwest Indiana I was talking to this morning. He said, my elevator, which is 2 miles from the ethanol plant, is 14 cents worse for January delivery corn than the ethanol plant is. Again, there's 2 miles between the elevator and, you know, and the ethanol plant, but there's 14 cents difference in the bids, and that's just a function of who's paying the storage and where it's going, and the fact that the elevator's kind of got you trapped.
If you don't have the storage, which one are you more willing to pay storage for, corn or soybeans?
Todd, I think as we look at that, that's going to be, as we get there, which basis looks the widest and which has come in. And at this point in time, I'm going to say that I would like to pay on both. I mean, to be very honest, because I think that the market has a good chance of improving for two reasons after the first of the year. Number one, as they get to the point of the ethanol plants needing corn, as we get to the point where storage has run out and we get some other export business going on, that we can pick up that way. But also, after the first of the year, we're going to start the bidding war again for acres. And I think that we can bring those prices on up. Chuck and I were talking beforehand, and we don't mind selling extreme premium for the November beans or the December corn. but neither one of us cared to sell anything farther out than that in the premium and the calls because we're not sure what it's going to take to bid up and what acres we're going to have to try to buy and worldwide what's going to happen with the weather. But, I mean, along the way. So, you know, two things, I guess, if you have to buy one and only one, you'd buy beans because you can store a lot more dollars of beans and have a better chance for I think the basis is wider right now on beans than it is on corn than normally, number one, and you can put a lot more acres in there for the amount of bushels. But all in all, you know, when you start putting corn on a pile, you have to remember it does cost that elevator probably another 15 cents to put it out there. That's why he has to widen his basis about 15 cents when they do start going to that pile.
From the Mercantile Exchange this week, August live cattle in 94.97 and a half top, the low at 92.65, their settlement price 2 and a half cents lower at $93.60. Feeder cattle finished the August at 115.92 and a half. They were down $1.20. August lean hogs at 75.60 for the high, the low at 72.10, settled at 74.37 and a half, off 160, and the bellies at $80 even were down $10.65 from last week. So if you're a livestock producer, do you take a look at current levels, Chuck, and say, I need to get some of this put into place?
It's pretty hard as a cattle producer. I talked about my guys in Wisconsin, a longtime guy I work with, and he's, you know, you look out there at a dollar cattle, you know, you got to say, well, that's a pretty good price to lay some in. And then over in the hogs, we're seeing the funds have been pretty active there and creating some artificial bumps up and artificial bumps down. But again, a pretty decent price to go after some hedging and livestock, in our opinion.
And do you need to go ahead and price out some of your feed needs, too?
I think so. At these levels, I don't think that the risk is more going up, you know, and you'd like to buy it on this wide basis if you're really in the cash side of the equation.
That's right. One of the things that, you know, we've been looking at or I've been looking at here lately in the cattle side of things is, you know, you're kind of in an ironic position or an odd position that you can go ahead, even though feeders are on the expensive side, buy them, look out, hedge the cattle, buy the feed. In other words, you're locking up a lot of sides and locking up some decent money. So, I mean, you know, let's not get greedy in a situation where you're really just trying to continue making money doing business. So,
in 2 minutes, we'll talk with John Bondurant of Bondurant Futures out of Memphis, Tennessee.
I'm Steve Hilberg with the Midwestern Regional Climate Center located at the Illinois State Water Survey in Champaign. Warm, humid summer weather gradually crept back across Illinois this week, marking what may be an extended period of typical Midwest summer weather. July was not a hot month here in Illinois. In fact, temperatures averaged 2 to 3 degrees below normal across most of the state. Rainfall during July was normal to well above normal in the northern third of Illinois, but the southern two-thirds of the state came up short by well over an inch or more of rain. The few good rainfalls that did occur seemed to be timed well for most crops, and the lack of hot weather did keep crop stress minimized. Temperatures this week gradually crept up through the 80s and dew points rose through the 60s. On the first day of August, many locations in Illinois had their first 90-degree day in almost a month. The only significant rain occurred in northeastern Illinois at the beginning of the week. A few scattered showers occurred further south, and then again later in the week along a weak cold front. That frontal boundary looks like it will be hanging around Illinois most of next week. It will provide a focus for scattered showers and thunderstorm development, first in northern Illinois this weekend. The front will lift back north and then move back south toward the middle of the week. Scattered thunderstorms will redevelop over northern Illinois and then in the central and southern portions of the state the middle to end of the week. The weather will continue very warm and humid for most of the week. For the Midwestern Regional Climate Center in Champaign, I'm Steve Hilberg.
And I'm Todd Gleason. You're listening to the Closing Market Report. This is WILL Urbana, AM 580. Our panelists today are Vince Reinecke of Strategic Farm Marketing out of Champaign, Illinois, Chuck Shelby of Risk Management Commodities out of Lafayette, Indiana, and Wayne Nelson of L&M Commodities out of Newmarket, Indiana. Joining us now from Memphis, Tennessee, is the president of Bondurant Futures, John Bondurant. He's a speculator and a fund manager who specializes in grain and cotton trades. He also was once a director of the National Futures Association. And, of course, he farms a large number of acres. Thanks for joining us today. We appreciate it, John.
Well, it's fun to be here.
Have you followed the corn and soybean basis in your area? And
unfortunately.
And are there any expectations for an early harvest premium to fill processor or golfer needs?
Oh, heavens no. Right now, corn is 40 cents off of September, which makes it 50 cents odd off of December. And bean basis, they called me yesterday to give me a wonderful quote of 60 under. It was a dollar under November, so it's the worst I've ever seen. We're going to store everything we can, obviously. And I agree totally with y'all is store the beans. You get three acres of beans stored for every one of corn, so to speak. So we're going to store beans.
As a past president of the NFA, I want to ask you a quick question about the Chicago Board of Trade and the way price discovery has been working there with wheat and soybeans over the past 2 years. Are you concerned at all that it's not reflective properly? And is there I assume this is because it's reflecting a world price as opposed to an Illinois delivery price or a Toledo delivery price. And should something be done?
I guess they need more delivery locations because you're right. There is not a very good price convergence. And we've seen terrible basis prices. And I would imagine the funds are also playing something into this. And then another thing going on is we have these real big up-moving markets, and if you're a short hedger or like an elevator, you get murdered on margin calls. So you're trying to take that out on the basis too. But I agree with you. I think something needs to be done.
I have to admit, John, I watch St. Louis basis levels a lot. I think you probably ought to look at and see what kind of trucking or freight it would cost you to get it to St. Louis because they were bidding four over, I think, this morning on corn. So,
oh, really?
For nearby, yeah, which surprises me substantially when you talk about some of the basis levels you were talking about down that way. So just surprising. Basis is so interesting and in many ways confusing this year, as you kind of discussed, and I think it has a lot to do with what you were just talking about regarding the futures prices being high and all that. But can you expand a little bit on your basis levels and how quick they've either widened out or maybe you've seen them come back in a little bit in the last 2 weeks? I'm just curious down there what kind of basis levels things look like.
Well, I mean, 2 weeks ago we were literally a dollar under the board for November delivery beans. August set beans. We'll be harvesting beans in August down here. Now they've gone to 60 cents over under, which is still 30 cents worse than ever. Corn basis is about as bad. It's as bad as it was during Katrina, which we went. I remember Katrina year, the basis was 50 under down here in August, and we stored corn and 60 days later I sold it for 25 over SEP, and it went to 50 over.
Well, John,
unbelievable. A dollar swing in the basis in 60 days.
Yeah, that's disgusting, isn't it? We know that the basis has been bad all over. That's something that we can't probably do a whole lot about this afternoon. But how about this corn market? Have we put in the harvest low yet when we bounced off here? And so I'm saying seeing the big numbers that Informa put out today. Or do we still have a new contract low or a new low to be hit yet this fall during harvest?
I just put it the way I think about it, if you believe 148 corn yield, the corn market's going way higher. And my reasoning on that is whatever the corn crop is this year, we're going to need another billion to a billion two next year because of ethanol. And yet right now on my farms, it's costing me $50 an acre more to raise corn next year than this year because fertilizer's that much higher. Beans are high. The South had 2 million extra acres of corn, for instance. Well, that's going away next year. You can kiss that goodbye. It's going into wheat and beans. So, like y'all mentioned, we're in an acreage war, and it's just going to continue.
And haven't you seen the market seems to be overly focused on this yield factor, but you've brought up some great points that it's really about the upcoming demand in acres, and that's been lost in the shuffle. So does it really much matter if it's 148 or 150? I don't think so. I think it's going to be more important about those points you brought up.
John, can you, if I may interject, can you talk a little bit about cotton and how that, given you're a cotton farmer, how does that enter the picture? You know, when we start talking about cotton acres that switch to corn this year that may go back to cotton next year, you know, that whole situation, because that's another acreage war issue.
Cotton dropped from 15 to 11 this year, millions of acres, and at current prices it'll probably go down to 9 next year. It's going to take more or less 78 to 80 cent spot month futures to compete with $8.50, $9 beans. And spot month in cotton right now is 62. So right now, I was talking to one of my customers today, and he planted probably 50% less than last year, and he's talking about no acreage this year, this coming year. And I didn't plant any. I went from 5,000 acres to zero this year, and I presume I'll have zero for the next 2 years because I'm hedging a lot of 08, 09, and even 010 corn and bean futures and wheat.
So, John, you feel we should be pre-selling some corn out there, if that's what you're saying?
Well, corn maybe not so much, but, boy, I sure like selling beans around $9 and wheat at $5.50. You know, double cropping wheat and beans on irrigated land is a home run. And just straight single crop beans at 60 bushels at $9 is another home run. So these are extraordinary prices. As a farmer, I think it's something you just got to hedge the living. Well, a lot of, excuse me. Yeah, I'd sell. I've got about 60% of 08 sold and 60%, probably 40% of 09 sold and 5% of 10 sold in futures. Now, that requires one heck of a lot of margin money, I can tell you that.
So you'll live with those type of positions with coverage, or just they're just a hedge, and that's a price you'll, you know, live with?
That's a thing. You know, they're hedges. I live with them, and I've done this frequently in the past. And, you know, what happens if you sell $9 beans and they drop to $6, and you take that hedge out and plant cotton? You just made a whole lot of money. Or selling $4 corn, have, you know, wheat. All these things can change, and I've done it frequently. I had 1 year where I hedged 100% of my corn production at around $3 and took it out at $2.20 and made as much on the hedges as I would have made farming it and then planting cotton. Those cotton prices rally. So I think we're in that kind of environment where we're going to have enormous swings. We're bidding for acreage all over the place, and then we got to address what happens with foreign acreage. I read of a lot of acreage in Russia that's unplanted. It's probably going to start finding its way in the market at $6 wheat. And what happens to CRP in the U.S.? There are a lot of other things that could change the picture a lot. Or what happens if energy prices collapse? Because we've got a stock market that is positively scary.
I appreciate you being with us.
Yeah, always fun. I enjoy listening to y'all.
Thank you much. Thanks, John. John Bondurant is president of John Bondurant Futures. He's in Memphis, Tennessee. Now a final word from our panelists in studio. We'll start with you, Vince Reinicke of Strategic Farm Marketing.
Well, as John kind of alluded to there at the end, I certainly don't want to expand on this necessarily, but at the same time, you know, there's a number of scary things going on in the market, maybe not so much in the grain market, but rather in energy and stock markets. So, you know, the important thing is, as he kind of talked about, you know, stay close to what you know, and that is run your business and make money running your business.
Wayne Nelson of L&M Commodities.
It's a very scary weekend as to whether we're going to see that rain develop in the Northwest and how much rain it will be. Will it be the 2 inches that Skilling talked about on Friday? Or will it be the half inch to quarter inch like some are looking for? And will the southern Midwest get any rain? Those are things that can swing the market 10 to 15 cents come Sunday evening.
And Chuck Shelby of Risk Management Commodities.
It's still volatile, and it's going to be that way. We got a long ways to go, so make some plans and try to live with them.
That wraps up this week's edition of Commodity Week. Something to keep in mind, you can always access Commodity Week on our website at willag.org. By the way, next week, if it all works out, we'll record Commodity Week at the Chicago Board of Trade. That crop production report in Commodity Week will come from the CBOT. Be sure to tune in. I'm Todd Gleason.
Commodity Week is made possible with support from AgriGold Hybrids, funding agricultural programming as an additional service to the many AgriGold customers in the AM 580 listening area. AgriGold, the corn after corn specialists. Information on the web at agrigold.com or by contacting Regional Sales Manager Scott Williamson at 217-778-6485 for representative nearest you. And with support from ADM, using corn and oil seeds to create biofuels, agriculture's answer to diminishing fossil fuels. ADM, resourceful by nature.